Well, and welcome back to Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly. You might notice a small difference in this one, because sadly, Dave Horrocks, who normally masters the news, is away in Africa. Lucky man. And so it's left to me and Diego to attempt to create an MP3 up to his quality, and that's going to be no mean feat. So let's get on and start where we always do. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now the main headlines from around the world are as follows. We start with the exciting speculation of whether natural stones or ancient megaliths. That's in Wiltshire in England. And we have news of a reprint of Zuqeyya Temple in Malta, a report back from 1906. We have a brief history of Stonehenge theories, some completely wacky, and report on underwater excavations of a Turkish prehistoric settlement. We talk about the 4,000-year-old Abraham Gate, which is now being reopened to the public after reconstruction at Tel Dan in Israel, and news on rare Iron Age bulls, which were found in Wales. We have sad news that walkers are dismantling ancient Yorkshire cairns, and also new technology for dating ancient rock paintings has been created. While still on ancient rock paintings, we report on 6,000-year-old ones that have been found in Peru. And finally, or perhaps laughably, a Bronze Age burial site has actually been damaged by the Scottish police. A controversial area of land in Swindon in Wiltshire, England, has been earmarked for a housing development and could instead become Swindon's own mini Avebury, according to campaigners. The claim comes after ancient stones, which could be part of Swindon's Neolithic history, were unearthed at Cote. The two sarsen stones were uncovered by the highway agencies opposite Dalehouse Farm near the protected Cote Stone Circle. The find has excited speculation that more historic stones may still lie undiscovered in the area. Campaigners against a planning application by the Swindon Gateway Partnership to build 1,800 homes and a university campus on the land near Cote Water say the development could rob the town of huge potential historic and tourist value. This particular area is steeped in prehistory, with a Bronze Age settlement, just two round barrows and two stone circles, as well as lines of stones linking these together. English Heritage and the county archaeologists supposedly dropped their objections at the 11th hour, so it no longer became an issue for the planning inspector. Wiltshire's county archaeologist, however, Melanie Pomeroy Kellinger, said that she has yet to be able to see the stones, but has said that sarsens actually do occur naturally in the area. The nearby stone circle is also scheduled, and so therefore is already protected. And just a comment from myself, it's again one of these things where suddenly archaeology and heritage becomes important once there's, shall we say, other motives to highlight it, in this case, trying to stop development. I really would like more people to actually get involved in the heritage before it comes under threat. There's a thought. A limited facsimile edition of Friar Emmanuel Magri's Ruins of a Megalithic Temple at Zuqeyya, the first report, is to be published by Heritage Malta as part of an initiative to produce cultural publications of general interest about Malta's heritage and culture. Originally published in 1906, the report describes the excavations undertaken of the megalithic temple in Zuqeyya under Friar Magri's direction. That was in October 1904. He was an archaeologist and also the first director of the excavations of the Hypogeum. This report witnesses his scholarship, his use of local traditions and pioneering work on the study and classification of potsherds. The present edition includes the original watercolour plates of the sherds, published in colour for the first time after more than 100 years. Details of the watercolours and photos of the actual sherds are included for comparison. The publication is further enriched with archival material relating to the same excavation. It's nice to see something standing the test of time and just shows the relevance of a well-created report. With March the 20th marking the vernal equinox, attention turns once again to the persistent theories of Stonehenge's origin. In 1965, the book Stonehenge Decoded, astronomer Gerald Hawkins offered the most comprehensive hypothesis to date for Stonehenge's purpose. Hawkins saw the cluster of stones constructed in phases around 3100 BCE through to 1600 BCE as an ancient astronomical calendar. In his analysis, he identified 165 separate points on the monument and linked them to astronomical events like the two solstices and the equinoxes and lunar and solar eclipses. It's a difficult theory to disprove completely, and some evidence is very persuasive. At dawn on the summer solstice, for example, the centre of the Stonehenge ring, both the slaughter and hailstones and the sun all seem to align. However, critics of Hawkins' theory say he gives the ancient builders too much credit, arguing that they couldn't have had the sophistication or precision necessary to predict all the astrological events that he ascribes to his Stonehenge calendar. In the 12th century, the legend of King Arthur wasn't completely regarded as fiction. In his account of Stonehenge, historian Geoffrey of Monmouth wrote that troops tried to move stones from Ireland to England in order to provide a monument for their war dead. When they couldn't do it, they enlisted the help of the wizard Merlin to transport the massive stones, some weighing as much as 50 tons, back to Britain before arranging them in the current configuration. In a modern twist on Geoffrey's account, some argue that space aliens rather than Merlin constructed Stonehenge. These theories feed off the fact that no one's exactly sure how the rocks got to their present location. The origin of some were traced as far as the Welsh mountain ranges, 137 miles away. Although modern tests employing only technology from the era have moved similar stones, there's still no full explanation for how ancient people managed such a feat. Hence, we have to bring in the aliens. Some theories, however, are more inventive, and in the 1920s, Englishman Alfred Watkins attempted to connect Stonehenge with other sites in England, arguing that when taken together, they served as landmarks to navigate through the island, once dense with now vanished forest. He called these routes ley lines, and the theory developed a sizable following, though trained archaeologists, like myself I should say, were rather dubious about this theory. Another hypothesis is the configuration is meant to resemble a giant vulva as means of tribute to ancient fertility goddesses. Others argue that Stonehenge was a place of ancient healing, and archaeologists have discovered skeletons at the site, riddled with crude wounds, perhaps indications of rudimentary surgery. The current consensus, if such a thing exists, as we all know from scores of reports we've had over the past few years on this podcast, is that Stonehenge was used as a burial site. Archaeologists have found skeletal remains at the site dating back to a 500-year period beginning in 3000 BCE. One archaeologist dubbed the site a domain for the dead, and say the bodies found likely belonged to a group of elite people. It's the most solid evidence yet, but it doesn't preclude Stonehenge having a dual purpose as an astronomical calendar or a religious site as well. One thing is for certain, as the sun rises and sets to mark this equinox, another day will pass without a complete answer to the site's origins. On the other hand, perhaps that's how it's meant to be, because where would we be without Stonehenge and the stories it creates? Don't ask an archaeologist about that one, though. Archaeologists announced that they have begun underwater excavations of the prehistoric site of Limantepe in western Turkey. The underwater research, headed by Professor Hayat Erkanal of the Archaeology Department of Ankara University, explores the prehistoric settlement located in the coastal town of Urla near Izmir in western Turkey. The harbour settlement was inhabited as early as 6,000 years ago, and as such is one of the oldest known artificial harbours in the Aegean. A large part of it, including a fortification wall, was submerged in the sea due to a massive earthquake which occurred around 700 BCE. Layers from three different periods have been found at Limantepe. The lowest belongs to the early Bronze Age and dates to around the 3rd millennium BCE onwards, the second from the Middle Bronze Age from the first half of the 2nd millennium. The third layer belongs to the Late Bronze Age and covers the time period from the 14th to the 13th century BCE, with some artifacts discovered suggesting a cultural connection with the Mycenaean culture. The Mantepe seems to have been a major sea transportation centre with political influence in the Aegean region in 3000 BCE. Interest in the site grew in 2007 when a wooden anchor dating from the 7th century BCE was discovered wedged in the seabed during underwater exploration. It's said it could be the oldest such anchor ever found. The current excavations are being carried out with the support of experts and equipment from Israel's Haifa University. The Nature and National Parks Protection Authority opened Abraham's Gate at Tel Dan in Israel for visits to the public. The ancient structure from the Canaanite period of the Bronze Age is made of mud brick and is thought to have been built around 1750 BCE. The gate was uncovered in 1979 but more recently underwent restoration. It's composed of three arches and constructed of sun-dried mud brick on a foundation of large basalt stones. The gate, which in ancient times stood 7 metres tall, has been restored to its original height. It features two towers and a horizontal structure linking them below the arches, the oldest arches ever found in Israel. Archaeologists specialising in the Bronze Age suggest caution in identifying the structure. Rafael Greenberg of Tel Aviv University's archaeology department commented that he doesn't know any academic archaeologist who actually uses the Bible as a guide to describing remains from any such early period. There may be a connection with Abraham in a metaphoric sense, but it's no more than that. Actually, that story's taught me something. Oh, well, so the Romans invented the arch, so there you go. You learn something new every day. Rare Iron Age artifacts buried as part of a religious offering have been unearthed by a metal detectorist. Two bronze bowls and a bronze wine strainer, described by an expert as of great importance for the UK, were found by Craig Mills in his home city of Newport in South Wales. He came across the items in the Langstone area in December 2007, only 9 months after he took up metal detecting. It's believed that the objects were used for eating and drinking and were deliberately buried intact as a religious offering. The items are believed to have been made around about 25 to 60 CE and were buried at the time of the Roman army's campaign against the Iron Age Silures tribe in South Wales, between 47 and 75 CE. The two near-complete bowls have round bases, carefully formed rims and decorated fittings with rings from hanging them up, and also a strainer has a round bowl-shaped body with a wide flat rim and similar suspension ring. The decoration in all the vessels is of late Celtic or Latin style from the late Iron Age. This discovery is of great importance for Wales and the UK, and while similar bowls have been found in the Western and Southern Britain, few find spots have had the opportunity to be actually carefully investigated by archaeologists. It seems that these valued and whole containers were carefully buried at the edge of an ancient bog or lake as part of a ritual offering. We're looking forward to researching and investigating further finds further in the area in 2009 in order to reveal the full story of how these impressive decorated pieces were made, used and buried. It's hoped that the bowls and wine strainer will be displayed at the National Museum of Wales in 2010 in the Origins Search of Early Wales Gallery. This again, if I have to say, highlights the additional information that can always be brought to light with the investigation of the site as well as the find itself. So, well done to all involved. British walkers are destroying priceless historic sites to build hilltop cairns, and now a National Park Authority has pleaded to visitors to stop the custom in order to preserve structures that have been around for over 4,000 years. Cairns have always been a contentious issue on Britain's hills, and for years journalist and broadcaster Cameron McNeish has waged a war on what he sees as unnecessary edifices on Scotland's wilderness peaks. Last year many cairns were cleared from the summit of Ben Nevis, and now the Yorkshire Dales are suffering the same cairn problem. Rocks and stones are being removed from prehistoric sites by walkers, making their own contribution to summit cairns. The practice is putting important relics at risk, including Bronze Age burial mounds. To repair some of this damage, local archaeologist Yvonne Luke and the Dales volunteers will be dismantling the modern cairns and all but one of the windbreaks at Beamsley. The team will also be repairing the footpaths to try and stem some of the natural erosion around them. They would like to urge walkers to resist the temptation to pick up stones and build cairns, because they can actually unwittingly damage ancient, historically important sites. An archaeological survey of the hilltop has been carried out, and Mr. White and his team are now appealing for old photographs of the site to help them build up a picture of what it was like in the past. The authority has put a temporary poster on a nearby Trig Point pillar, urging people not to build cairns and explaining why. A permanent interpretation panel is planned for the site eventually. So anyone with information or photographs that can help Mr. White is asked to contact him on this number. That's 0300 456 0030. That was 0300 456 0030. A new dating method finally is allowing archaeologists to incorporate rock paintings into the tapestry of evidence used to study life in prehistoric times. In the study, Marvin Rowe points out that rock paintings or pictographs are among the most difficult archaeological artifacts to date. They lack the high level of organic material needed to assess a pictograph's age using radiocarbon dating, the standard technique for more than a half a century. Rowe describes a new highly sensitive dating method called accelerator mass spectrometry that requires only 0.05 milligrams of carbon, the weight of 50 specks of dust, to do just that. There's much less than several grams of carbon needed with traditional radiocarbon dating. The research includes analysing pictographs from numerous countries over a span of 15 years. It validates the method and allows rock paintings to now join bones, pottery and other artefacts that tell secrets of ancient societies. Because of their prior lack of methods for dating rock art, archaeologists have almost completely ignored them before in the 1990s. But with the ability to obtain reliable radiocarbon dates on pictographs, archaeologists have now begun to incorporate this into a broader study that includes other cultural remains. Now, while staying with rock art, more than 10,000 cave paintings dating back to more than 6,000 years were discovered by Peruvian archaeologist Quirino Olivera in the Andean country's jungle department of Amazonas. Hidden by the region's lush vegetation for centuries, the paintings were discovered in caves located near the village of Tambolac in the province of Utcubamba. The Toquepala caves are located in the western Andes at an altitude of 2,700 metres above sea level. They're noted for cave paintings depicting scenes of hunters corralling and killing a group of guanacos, a camel-like animal native to the South Americas. Known as chaco in Peruvian Andes, this hunting technique consists of forming human circles to corral the animals and then either capture or kill them. Well, actually, if you read the latest Past Horizons magazine, you will be able to learn more about rock paintings and even how to get involved in the recording of this artistic expression of humans. More on that later, of course. Police officers in northern Scotland have been accused of vandalising a Bronze Age site through ignorance after they removed bones and textiles from a 4,000-year-old burial chamber, apparently because they thought they were investigating the scene of a crime. The Bronze Age burial chamber was accidentally uncovered on the 26th of January this year in a field at Langwell Farm in Sutherland. Farmer Jonathan Hampton immediately alerted Historic Scotland and also decided to notify the police. But he claims then that officers completely botched up the find and is so angry he has now decided to speak out. The police declined to respond to Mr. Hampton's allegations, but Historic Scotland defended the police actions and said that the force had an obligation to investigate an unexplained death, adding that the site was not a scheduled monument and so therefore was not subject to the Heritage Organisation's protection. Though the bones have subsequently been handed over to Historic Scotland, the farmer remains adamant that some of the textiles and basket-like materials have been lost. While police sources have confirmed that no foul play is suspected, many archaeologists are aghast at the force's behaviour. Jim Crowe, Professor of Archaeology at the University of Edinburgh, said that a find of textiles in a Bronze Age grave was unique in Scotland and extremely rare anywhere else. In any case, if they were actually dealing with a real crime scene, they shouldn't have disturbed it. People take human remains very seriously, and there are a whole range of concerns, not just amongst archaeologists, but amongst society at large. There are very strict procedures, whether the remains are ancient or modern. A few weeks after the discovery, Historic Scotland called in Glasgow University's Archaeological Research Division Guard to excavate the grave. Dr. Olivia Lelong arrived at Langwell on the 6th of February and then worked on the site until the 12th of February. She says it was a very exciting find. A Bronze Age burial kists are not that unusual a find, but they're not very common either, and it was very exciting to discover another one. There was really quite remarkable preservation of organic material in the kist. There was actually basket-like material around the head and also the lower thigh, and it's very rare to find that sort of thing at all. Dr. McCulloch of Historic Scotland said that Mr. Hampton had followed indeed the correct procedure in contacting the police in the first instance. However, he added that the pictures of the grave taken by Mr. Hampton's digger driver differed markedly to those later taken by the archaeologists. I will leave you to draw your own conclusions. From my own point of view, and for many people on Badger, we actually find this quite baffling too. The procedure is that, yes, the police are involved, but they usually call in archaeologists to ask whether or not this is an ancient find or not, something which the farmer seemed to have recognised almost immediately. And also removal of bones is quite baffling too. Also baffling is the Historic Scotland statement that because the site wasn't scheduled, well, because nobody knew it was there, of course, that it wasn't under protection. There's a lot more to the story than meets the eye, but hopefully the police have learned their lesson on this one. As I said earlier, there's a lot about rock art that you can find in this edition of Past Horizons magazine. So you want to see that and many other quite exciting articles, get yourself along to www.pasthorizons.com/magazine. You'll be looking for issue 7. And can I also remind people that Badger is still going despite the credit crunch, and you can actually find job opportunities as well as the UK Heritage Calendar, Library Guidance section and so much more. Why not join in the forum, in fact? And remember that more can always be found on Stone Pages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks for listening to this, as I say, Unmastered Archaeology News Weekly, and we hope it wasn't too bad for you, and you'll return again to us next week.